Now, from our blog to what's hot in the blogosphere at large, Bill Cosby dissects the state of Black America and Michael Bell is sent back to jail, but two other members of the Gina Six show up to style and profile at the BET Hip Hop Awards. With us is Brandon Whitney, who writes the blog Homeland Colors, Shay Riley of the blog Booker Rising, and Lauren Williams, editor of the blog Stereohyped. Lauren just won a Black Weblog Award for Best New Blog. Welcome, everybody, and congratulations, Lauren.
Hi, thank you.
How you doing?
Hello.
So let's talk about this whole issue of Cosby and Poussant on Meet the Press. So during his hit The Cosby Show, Bill Cosby recruited psychologist Dr. Alvin Poussant to reality check the scripts for his sitcom Family. On Sunday, Cosby and Poussant went on Meet the Press to talk about their new book, Come On People, On the Path from Victims to Victors. Here's Bill Cosby.
Kid is studying, and so they say to the kid, you're acting white, which is a put-down to make this kid stop studying. Well, let's examine this. If you're Black and you say to me, because you see me studying, you're acting white, what is it you're saying about Black people?
Brandon, what do you think?
Well, the thing with Bill Cosby is he doesn't have a lot of credibility for me. In terms of speaking to the Black community, the very first time he speaks to the community, he's pretty much insulting to people on the lower economic spectrum. And a lot of what he has to say is dead on. He's absolutely correct in a lot of what he has to say. But the way he says it and the way he projects himself, he just doesn't have any credibility. I mean, why listen to somebody who insults you when they say they're trying to help you? It doesn't make sense.
Lauren, were you surprised at all that, first of all, Bill Cosby said this, or just that he's pursuing what for him, I'm sure, is a very straightforward moral crusade?
No, not at all. I mean, he's Bill Cosby. He's kind of like, you know, for kids who grew up in the 80s, he's kind of like, you know, our second dad, or maybe, you know, for some, you know, their first dad. I think that he, like you said, I think it's a very clear cut issue for him. And I think he doesn't understand why other people don't understand, or why other people, you know, aren't trying to, you know, improve the state of America's Black youth in the same way he is. I agree with Brandon. His approach is often very off. And I think it's because, you know, he's an older conservative guy. You know, he sees these issues, through his eyes, and you know, they're very cut and dry to him. But the people who are living the lives that he's criticizing, it's not that simple.
And he's an older guy, but there's got to be somebody that's around 35, 25, anybody under 50 that has the same drive to fix the community that wants to speak about it. Why are all the people who want to fix community older, civil rights era folks? I don't understand that.
I'm not sure that's the case. Maybe folks don't get the mic. What do you think, Shay?
Well, there's several things. First of all, I completely disagree with Brandon's claim that Mr. Cosby has no credibility. I mean, if anyone has credibility to speak on this issue, it's him with his PhD in education, and he's probably spent at least $50 million of his own money to help improve Black communities. So I just think that's a ludicrous claim. But getting back to the point of what he's talking about, it should first be acknowledged that the vast majority of Black people are middle class or working class, law-abiding, and contributing to U.S. society. That's not whom Bill Cosby and Dr. Poussant are targeting. They're targeting the minority of Black folks who've, you know, fallen behind since the civil rights movement and who are wreaking havoc within Black communities on the crime, education, fatherless families front, just to name a few topics.
Now, Shay, I want you to jump in about this KFC commercial.
Okay.
Because you blog about it, and it shows a fatherless family, or at least a family mm-hmm. without a father present having mm-hmm. KFC. Tell me what you wrote about that. What do you think it symbolizes?
Well, I was writing in response to people who were arguing that it was a racist ad because it featured a Black woman and three of her children with no father present. And I think they're, you know, overreaching there, because that is the typical Black family nowadays. You know, that's a plural majority of how Black families nowadays are formed. And that's getting back to what Dr., you know, Poussant and Bill Cosby have been talking about. And, you know, I didn't think the ad was racist at all. I thought, in fact, it was a very touching ad because it focused on the mother's relationship to her children.
I actually want to move us to a different topic. Last Friday, a jury in Florida acquitted staff of a juvenile offender boot camp in the death of a 14-year-old. Seven former guards and a nurse were ruled not guilty of manslaughter in the death of Martin Lee Anderson. After the verdict, Anderson's mother, Gina Jones, and her lawyer, Benjamin Crump, spoke outside the courthouse.
You kill a dog, you go to jail, you kill a little black boy, nothing happens.
Everything was in black and white. The video, how in the hell they gonna let them walk away?
Now, in January of 2006, Anderson was beaten by nearly half a dozen guards in a confrontation that was captured on videotape. He was sentenced to the boot camp on charges of grand theft auto. Anderson was black. The guards are a racially mixed group. Shay, what message do you get out of this acquittal?
Well, I mean, I thought that Anderson's death was definitely unfortunate and sounded like there was some definite misconduct on the part of the guards, including, you know, and some of those guards were black as well, who thought he was faking illness to get out of boot camp activities. You know, unlike the white, all-white jury in this case, I would have convicted them of manslaughter because he died under government's care. But what I'm really more interested in is why was Martin Anderson, you know, in the system to begin with? You know, what values caused him to steal his grandmother's car in the first place, among other activities? And his parents had him turned over to big government to do what they were either unwilling or unable to do, and that was to control their son. So while we should certainly focus on the tragedy here, let's also focus on why he was there in the first place. And that gets back to issues of crime within our own communities and how we can use mentoring programs and other activities to change that.
Lauren, do you draw out of this a family morality play, a morality play about all white juries and justice? What do you get out of this?
Well, I certainly think that, you know, obviously if he hadn't have stolen the car, he never would have gone to the boot camp. But these are boot camps set up by the government to help rehabilitate, you know, these kids. And instead, you know, Martin Lee Anderson ended up dying. And I think that, I mean, that's the message I get. You know, you can talk forever about eliminating crime in the community. And obviously that's the first step. But people are always going to commit crimes. You know, kids are always going to do stupid stuff, even kids with the best parents in the world. And, you know, if we don't have the appropriate system set up to punish these kids, but at the same time protect them since they are children, it's only going to go downhill from there after they leave the boot camp. So, you know, that's what I get from it. It's horrifying to me what happened to this kid.
Brandon?
But Lauren. Oh,
what I get out of that.
Go ahead, Brandon, and Shay, we'll come back to you.
What I get out of that, it's just another example that black lives, unfortunately, are not valued in America. And I'm not saying that that's an active racism. I think it's more of a passive racism. When you look at that instance in Florida, when you look at the Gen 6 and how it's mostly African Americans who respond to it, there's not a large white population responding to it. When you look at countless cases of prosecutorial misconduct, when you look at Katrina and how that was responded to, the lives aren't valued, unfortunately. And we say that we're an equal country and that we care about each and every person. And I think people mean that when they say it. But when you look at the actions and when you look at how people react and when you look at the news and how the news responds to these types of cases, it shows that black lives are not valued in America, unfortunately.
Shay?
Well, I would argue that we should first, you know, get more black people, you know, within our own communities to value black life. First of all, that to me is at the core here. And what I find interesting, because, you know, I think that a lot of people on the left seem to have their most outrage and rally their efforts the most around people of questionable character, I would argue, and these individuals' interactions with the police. And I agree, this case, you know, dealing with Anderson should be criticized. We should be, you know, raising, you know, issues about it. I'm just wondering why there's so much focus on this when there's far, far more numerous cases of people within our own communities who prey upon our own people and commit acts against us. After all, he was in the boot camp in the first place because he committed an act against one of
you know, his own relatives, another black person.
Well, Brandon, this kind of gets back to the Cosby issue. You know, is it more important to focus on what some people see as injustices against black people perpetrated by the outside ring of, you know, people outside of the black community, or to focus on the inside? And how do you do that?
It doesn't have to be an either or. See, I think a big problem that we as Americans have is that we try to take it to one extreme or the other. And it's possible for us to be responsible in our own communities, to demand more of ourselves, and at the same time have a just government. It doesn't have to be either or. So Bill Cosby, and he's exactly right when he says we need to change what we do in our communities. He's right when we need to focus on the fact that most of the African-Americans who are killed by other African-Americans. He's 100% right in that. It's just his delivery that's completely flawed. And when we look at these issues, the kid was killed. He died. Now, he stole a car. He should have been in jail. I'm glad he was in jail. I'm just not glad he died. And I'm not glad at the fact that his life, the loss of his life, was not punished. And you can look at the Gen 6. They should be locked up in juvie, but they should not be convicted of attempted murder.
I want to move on to something about the Gen 6. Lauren, you've been writing on your blog, Stereohyped, about something that happened, a little bit of a cultural twist. The BET Hip Hop Awards, Karwin Jones and Bryant Purvis showed up, and they were just flossing and glossing and, you know, strutting their fashion, presented an award. What do you think about their debut on the grand stage?
I think it was a horrible, horrible decision on the part of BET and on the part of these kids' parents. I mean, the Gen 6, they're worthy of equal treatment under the law. They're not worthy of, you know, getting flown out to Atlanta and, you know, getting brand new clothes and hobnobbing with Kanye West and going to parties sponsored by, you know, liquor companies. You know, they're kids who've never gotten in fights in their lives, who get straight A's, who are going to have to sit in front of their TV and watch the show, you know, from their homes, and you know, two of the Gen 6 get to, you know, fly out and you know, have this fancy red carpet celebrity experience that I frankly don't, I mean, I don't think they deserve it.
Shay, what do you think?
Well, I was, you know, disappointed to see them at the awards as well, you know, because like many other black people, I advocated their case on my blog because I thought it was an outrageous case of prosecutorial and big government overreach. You know, and I supported the protests. There were acquaintances of mine who were actually in Gina to protest their situation. However, they don't help the case when they go on the BET Awards and, you know, style and profile, as you said earlier, you know, for photos like they're gangster thugs. That was the image that they're, you know, that they portrayed. And had me wonder, who are their parents? I mean, they should be focused on school, their upcoming trials. And it just seemed like they weren't taking that seriously, and that was disappointing to me.
Any teenager who gets invited to the BET Awards is going to show up. So I'm not expecting a lot from them. And I think we expect too much of BET if we're expecting common sense in these type of issues. For one, we expect BET to do things that are responsible to the African-American community, and they're not an African-American-owned station. BET's owned by Viacom. Mm-hmm. You know, once Bob Johnson sold it, all of the expectations of quality entertainment to the African-American community can be thrown out the window.
All right, Brandon, we're going to have to leave it there, guys. We've been talking with Brandon Whitney, who writes the blog Homeland Colors. He was at our Washington, D.C. headquarters. Lauren Williams, editor of the blog Stereohyped, was at our New York studios. And Shay Riley of the blog Booker Rising, she was at member station WBEZ in Chicago. You can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. And the conversation does not stop here. Our online series Speak Your Mind gives you a chance to sound off on the issues you care about. To find out how, go to our blog, nprnewsandviews.org, and click on Speak Your Mind.